started tonight, but do take your, or keep your Bible handy, because I want to look at several different places in this chapter. Mark chapter number 6, and we'll read a couple of verses. Do pray. We've got Emily, our baby girl. She is expecting, well, she's 36 weeks today. And so she's been having some, it's looking like she's not going to make it to 40 weeks. Let me put it that way. And so you pray about that if you would, because I got revival meetings for the next 3 weeks. And I told her, I said, listen, you just need to hang on to Easter weekend, at least. And I have a week off, and it'll be all right. And so you pray about that if you, I'm serious. I mean, I'd hate to be, I'm going to be downstate this week and next week, and then I'll be in Kentucky for the weekend. And I hate to be in Louisville, Kentucky, her going labor. And so that'd be bad, wouldn't it? And so you pray about that. Pray the Lord to help her. You say, well, you can't do anything for her. Well, I want to see my grandbaby. Amen. I want to see my grandbaby when it gets here. Amen. And so you pray for her, Lord, to touch her, Lord, help her. And she's had a hard time. So I'm praying that she can, you know, everything will continue. We'll go smooth and everything will be all right. So do pray about that if you would. I'd appreciate it. Mark chapter number 6. Look in verse number 51. Look at verse 51. And we read about two verses for the sake of time. Do keep your Bible handy. Verse number 51 of Mark 6. The Bible said, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, if you know what's taking place in this text, Jesus has just come walking to them on the water. Now, I'll be honest with you, that would have amazed me. Amen. I mean, Jesus comes and they're in a storm and they're in a desperate situation, and Jesus comes walking upon the water and rescues them. And you know, of course, this is when Peter walks on the water as well. But the Bible tells us in verse number 51 that they were amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And again, I can understand that. But according to verse number 52, they should not have been amazed. Look at what the Bible said in verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness. Lord, we realize that nothing will be accomplished apart from you tonight. God, we need your help and your touch. And God, I pray that you would, God, bring to my mind remembrance the words that needs to be said. And God, I pray that you would move an unction. God, I pray you'd stir our hearts tonight. Do that only you can. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 52. In the latter part of that verse, the Bible says, speaking of these disciples, for their heart was hardened. So they were amazed and they wondered beyond measure at the fact that Jesus was walking on the water. And the reason they were amazed and the reason they wondered is because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And the reason they considered not the miracle of the loaves is because that their heart was hardened. Now I'm going to preach tonight, God help me, just for a few minutes on a hardened heart, or the dangers of a hardened heart. Here's what's amazing about this text. Listen, this is speaking about these disciples. If you study about when this took place, this is 1 year before the crucifixion. We know that according to John chapter number 6, it's nearing the time of the Passover. That is the Passover before the crucifixion. And so this is a year prior. How did Jesus go to the cross? That means that those disciples had been with him for some time now. They had been walking with him. They had been following him. They had been learning of him. Could you imagine what they experienced as they walked, listen, with the Lord Jesus and saw him minister to people? I've often thought about how it must have been to sit there on the mountainside and hear Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, this, could you imagine hearing the incarnate words, speak the inspired word? What a preacher. I mean, they had the greatest preacher shepherd. They had the greatest pastor. They had the greatest man leading them that has ever walked this earth. They had the God-man, the Lord Jesus, and they heard Him teach, and they heard Him preach, and they heard Him do some teach some amazing things. They saw Him perform some amazing miracles. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what you'll find up to this time that, Jesus had performed many miracles. We do not know how many miracles He performed, but the reason why, because there's many situations that were summarized. In other words, He would go into a region and perform many miracles. Matter of fact, you find that in verse number 53. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew Him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they had heard He was. And whithersoever He entered the villages or the cities in the country and laid the sick in the streets and besought Him that they might touch if it were but the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made perfectly whole. We have no idea how many people He healed in Gennesaret, but we just know they were many. Amen. There was many miracles that Jesus done in His ministry. Stay with me now. But of the miracles that are detailed in the four Gospels, there's 35 of them that are laid out in detail. What's interesting is this miracle of the loaves that is referenced is the 17th miracle that is detailed in the Scripture. And so these men had witnessed many things. They had heard the greatest preacher, priest, but yet their heart had become hardened. Amen. That's amazing to me. These men are not out in the world. They're not out involved in, some sin, but they're faithful to follow the Lord. They're walking with Him. They're involved in ministry, yet their heart had become hardened. Now that word hardened tonight, it has the idea of a callus. It simply means to cover with a thick skin. Amen. And so their heart had become callous and hard. Now when I saw that, this is what I thought. I thought if it was possible for those men in the situation that they were in the circumstance that they were in, if it was possible for them to develop a hardened or a callous heart, certainly it would be possible for you and I to develop a hardened heart. Amen. Now look at this. I begin to think about what caused it. What caused them to get to this situation? What caused them to get to this spiritual predicament in their life where they had a hardened heart? We're in chapter 6, back up to verse number 1. I'm going to show you a few things that led to this or that caused this hardness of their heart in the Word of God. Notice in chapter number 6 and verse number 1, what you'll find is Jesus goes into Nazareth in His hometown. And He goes, as was His custom, He would always go into the synagogue. Every town that He went in, there would be a synagogue there, and Jesus would go to that synagogue and He would preach and teach the Word of God. In Mark 6 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and He went out from thence and came into His own country, and His disciples follow Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands? Look at verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and of Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. So what you'll have is Jesus goes into the synagogue and He begins to preach the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that they're offended at Him, and they say, is not this the carpenter? You know what they're saying? They're saying, this is not the Son of God. They're saying, who does He think He is? But what authority is He saying these things? By what authority is He doing these acts? He's just a hometown boy. He's just the carpenter. He's just the son of Mary. I mean, His brothers are here and His sisters are here. Who does He think He is speaking and teaching with such authority? Amen. So the Bible tells us that these disciples were here with him. So can I say this tonight? That the critics could have caused the hardness of her heart. You say, what do you mean? Well, listen, I love the fact that we can gather in the house of God and we can hear the songs of Zion and the preaching of the Word of God. Man, we come in here sometimes, we have a tremendous service and we have a great time. And as soon as you go out those doors and go out in the world, you hear people criticizing the things of God and had cursing God and taking the Lord's name in vain. And if you listen, our very nature, there's an anger and a resentment that will rise up in us. Is that right? I mean, how many times you've been to church on a Sunday morning and God done amazing things and you go out and get frustrated at lunch over some heathen that's disrespecting everything that you believe in. I'm telling you, that's what these disciples, everywhere they went, people were criticizing the Lord that they love and the Lord that they served. And listen, it could have been that all that criticism led to a resentment and a hardness of their heart. Not only criticism or critics caused this, but I want to say, skip down to verse number 14, not only criticism or critics, but confusion. If you go down to verse number 14, I won't take time to read it. And you read down verse number 29, this is what you'll find. You'll find that John the Baptist had died. We have the account there, the death of John the Baptist. And the Bible tells us that he had been beheaded for preaching the Word of God. Is that right? Amen. Now this is what we know. We know that at least two of these disciples that were disciples of Jesus were also disciples of John the Baptist. According to John chapter number 1, Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. And then there's an unnamed disciple there in John 1 that I believe is John the Beloved, the writer of the Gospel of John. And so we know that those two men were disciples of John the Baptist. John's baptizing in the River Jordan and he sees Jesus coming on the horizon. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And Andrew and John begin to follow the Lord Jesus. Amen. And listen, Jesus called some more men. So we know at least two of these men were disciples of John the Baptist. And I would submit to you, it's very possible that some of the other men were disciples of John the Baptist as well. You say, what makes you think that? Because in Luke chapter number 11, the disciples come to Jesus and they said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. How did they know how John prayed? How did they know what John taught his disciples? How did they know about the teachings of John? And so we know if some of these men were first followers of John the Baptist. Now get what's taking place. Their mentor, the man they looked up to, their preacher, the man that they loved and followed and respected, has just had his head taken off for preaching the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you see things happen and you wonder why in the world did God allow that to happen? You ever think, I mean, why did God allow John? I'm talking about the forerunner. Listen, I'm talking about the one who preached like a wild man and preached the truth and pointed people to the Lord Jesus. God allowed him to get his head severed. Is that right? And I don't know this, but I think those disciples could have thought something like this. God, why did you allow that to happen to him? I mean, he's a good man. He's a godly man. He's God's man. He's a preacher. And yet, some bad things. He was in prison. He was mistreated. And then he was beheaded. I'm telling you, sometimes we see things that go on in this world. And we see people and we wonder why God allows things to happen. Maybe you never wonder that, but I certainly do. Sometimes, amen. I mean, I see some little child got cancer and they're suffering, and I wonder why in the world did God allow that? Why did He let that happen? Why? You know, God allowed it, amen. Amen. And so, and you see things like that, and it gives you a level of confusion because you wonder, maybe even in your own life, things have happened that does not make sense. It seems like the harder you try, the harder it gets. It seems like no matter what you do, you can't get ahead. And listen, it's confusion. It's confusing sometimes to be in that situation when you can't understand the plan of God, when you can't understand the purpose of God, when you don't know what God's doing, when you can't wrap your mind around the will of God. And listen, you can't see the end. You can't see what God's doing. You can't, it does not even look like the hand of God is in this situation. Hey friend, they were full of confusion. But not only confusion led to this hardship, but I want to say chaos did. Notice your Bible in verse number 30, I believe it is. Verse number 30. The Bible said, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both that they had done and that they had taught. Now, if you go back to verse number 7 and you read down when you get a chance, verse number 7 through down through verse number 14, Jesus had sent these disciples on a missionary journey. He had sent them out preaching the Word of God. They went forth preaching and proclaiming the truth without Him. And so they've come back now from that preaching journey. And in verse number 30 tells us that they reported to the Lord the things that they had done and the things that they saw. So these men had been out preaching the Word of God. They'd been out ministering and spreading the good news. Look what the Bible said in verse 31. And he said unto them, speaking about Jesus now, he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they have no leisure so much as to eat. And so Jesus recognized that these disciples were too busy. They'd gotten so busy that they had not taken time to rest. And so he sought to take them into a private place and let them rest. You know what your Bible says? Look at verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departed, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them and came together unto them. So Jesus takes them apart to rest a little while. But the Bible tells us they didn't get to do that because people saw them departing and they ran afoot and followed them and went to where they were. Verse number 34, the Bible said Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And so what you'll have is these disciples, they're exhausted. They're tired. They've been on a missionary journey. They come back to the Lord Jesus. And he said, you men need to rest a little while. What you need is you need some alone time with me. It's been a while. They've been on a journey now. It's been a while since you spent any time in my presence. So you and we need to get alone a little while and just let you rest and let you get a little time with me. But that didn't get to happen because when they got to a private place, many people come. And Jesus was moved with compassion, began to teach them many things. And the Bible, you read down that text, you'll find the Bible said as the day was now far spent. Jesus preached the Word of God all day to them. And at the end of the day, toward the latter part of the day, listen, that crowd was hungry. And Jesus, or them disciples, come to Jesus and said, Lord, send them the way that they could go buy food. And I've always been critical of those disciples. But the Bible tells us they hadn't ate yet. They hadn't had no leisure so much as to eat. And they've sat there all day on that countryside watching Jesus minister to that multitude. And then they're hungry, and this is what happened. Jesus said, do we have anything? And they said, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, bring them to me. And he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and blesses them and breaks them. And then he gave to the disciples, and the disciples distributed that food to the multitude. Well, they're already tired. They're already exhausted and they're hungry. Now they're giving food to other people. Amen.
And so this is what I'm saying. And listen, they were so busy. They got so involved. They were, just running to and fro. Just the chaos of ministry and the chaos of life. And I'll say this, if we ain't real careful, life is real busy, is it not? There's a lot of chaos. And if we ain't real careful, we'll get so busy running here and there, running to and fro. And we don't take any time to spend alone with the Lord Jesus. And listen, we may be doing good. We may be doing things. They're not necessarily bad. But if you just get too busy and get too caught up with the chaos of life, you can develop a hardened heart. Amen. Chaos. What about their calamity in verse number 45, I believe it is. The Bible says Jesus, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship and to go to the other side before the Bethsaida. And while he sent the people away. Or sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. The Bible tells us in verse 48, he saw them toiling and rowing. You read the other accounts, you understand that a great wind, a great storm arose here. So these disciples, they are absolutely exhausted. And they have just fed possibly 20,000 people. The Bible tells us 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Most commentators believe they could have been upwards of 20,000 people that was present during this time. So 12 men handed food to 20,000 people. Amen. You're talking about a task. And then they get on the ship and the wind goes a-blowing and a storm arises. If that'd been me, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. What else can go wrong? Now, I don't know about you, but there was something, a lot of times when things happen in my life, especially when it seems like they're one just right after another. I'm telling you, I know the Bible said to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I know, but I'm telling you, I'm afraid a lot of times I don't have a joyful spirit, but I have a bad attitude. Amen. You've got to be kidding me. Lord, what are you doing? Do you not understand that I'm already struggling? I'm already having this issue. And you put another battle and you put another storm right on me. And listen, just their calamity that they were in. Amen. A lot of things could have led to that. But notice the consequences of it. What was such a big deal about the hardness of the heart? Notice what your Bible said in verse number 52. The Bible said, for they consider not the miracle of the loaves. So listen, can I say this? The first consequence of a hardened heart was that they did not delight in supernatural activity. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's a reference here. The Bible said they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, if you study this miracle of the loaves, the feeding of the 5,000, this is what you'll discover. You'll discover that that is the most preeminent miracle in the ministry of our Lord. I think it's probably the greatest miracle in Jesus' ministry. And a lot of people say, well, I don't believe that, but this is what I know. It's the only miracle mentioned in all four Gospels. Now, when you think about that, you think about the miracles that are not mentioned. In all four Gospels. You remember John chapter number 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days. That's a pretty astonishing demonstration of the power of God, but that's only mentioned in the Gospel of John. Jesus turns the water to wine, does a miracle of nature. And John 2, it turns the water to wine, but that's only mentioned in the Gospel of John. Jesus raised, he raised three people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow of Nain's son from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And listen, those three resurrections are not mentioned in all four Gospels. Amen. He healed 10 lepers in Luke 17, healed 10 lepers. That's not mentioned in all four Gospels. I could go on and on. He heals the leper. He touched the man with the withered hand. He cast the demons out of the maniac. Listen, of the miracles that are defined, 35 of them in the Word of God are covered in detail, and only one of them is in all four Gospels. Now, when I saw that, my question was, why? Why is that the only miracle mentioned in all four Gospels? Well, can I say this? Not only is it the only miracle mentioned in all four Gospels, it's the only miracle, or it's referenced more than any other miracle that Jesus ever performed. Why? Well, there's a couple reasons why. Number one, it is different than any other miracle Jesus ever done. Here's why. Not all of them, but almost all of Jesus' miracles were miracles of restoration. He restored life. Amen. They were dead. He restored life. He restored health unto them that was sick. He restored calm to the sea. You could go on and on. He restored. Is that right? But this miracle is not a miracle of restoration. It is a miracle of creation. Because what Jesus did was took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed possibly 20,000 people. How did He do that? Listen, He had to create more fish and create more bread. Is that right? Amen. And so if everybody, stay with me, if everybody got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that means Jesus created, if there's 20,000 people and everybody got 2 fish, that means Jesus created 40,000 fish that had never been in the sea. Amen.
Yeah.
And listen, if everybody got 5 barley loaves, that means He created 100,000 barley loaves.
Right.
Listen, that had never, from barley that had never been in the ground.
Yeah.
Bread that had never been in the oven.
Right.
And Jesus just made it. But wait a minute. It does not say everybody got 5 loaves and 2 fishes.
Right.
Look what your Bible said. I believe it's verse number 42, maybe. Look what your Bible said. Yeah. And verse 4, and they did all eat and were filled. It does not say everybody got 5 loaves. This is what we know about 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That is the meal of a lad. That's the lunch of a lad. Now I know this. I know that most of us could eat more than a little lad. Amen. But the Bible said every man eat or everybody eat till they were filled. And so it does not matter who it was. He tailor fit that meal to each individual. Lord, that's preaching right there. Every individual got their own meal and got enough to fit. That means Jesus could have created 80,000 or 100,000 fish or 150 or 200,000 barley loaves. God, He just made them. He just created them. Amen. Amen. This miracle is witnessed by more people than any miracle Jesus ever performed. Many of the miracles, it was only the disciples that saw. When He raised Jairus' daughter, it's only Peter, James, and John that saw. And we could go on and on, but this miracle was witnessed by thousands. There's something else about this miracle. Did you know that if it's the 17th miracle that is recorded in detail, this is the first time that Jesus asked His disciples to be a part of it. Matter of fact, the first miracle Jesus performed, He turned the water to wine. And He asked the servants to fill the water pots. He didn't ask the disciples. And listen, all through the many miracles, they were bystanders. But this miracle, Jesus created fish. And He placed that fish in their hands. And they took created fish and bread and distributed it to the multitude. Amen. Now, that's an amazing miracle. Can I say this? Can I add this to it? Did you know, now stay with me, did you know that nobody witnessed creation? Amen. We have the account in the Word of God. God, the Holy Ghost, inspired it through the pen of Moses. And we have it in the Word of God. But nobody was there. There was not an eyewitness that watched God form man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. But on this day, 20,000 people watched the hands of the Creator. I create fish and bread out of nothing. Hey, listen, it was a demonstration of the creative power of the Son of God. Amen. Now, could you imagine being involved in that miracle? Could you imagine He bring them 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and give it to the Lord, and the Lord right there before them bless it and break it and fills Peter's basket full, John's basket full, and Thomas's basket full, and He fills all them men just with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When He says, "Now go feed the multitude, go distribute that,"
yeah.
And when you run out, come back for more. Amen. And they distribute that, come back for more. And I can't help but think one of them didn't look at the other and say, how's he doing that? That's, I don't know, but every time I go back, he's got more bread and he's got more fish. I don't know how in the world he's doing it. I don't know where it's coming from. Hey, listen, but it's amazing. Amen.
Right.
But the Bible said they considered not the miracle of the loaves. See, they were in the middle of the greatest miracle in Jesus' ministry, and they were not amazed by it. Amen. Here's why. There were 17 miracles again, up to this point that are detailed. And these men witnessed, I think all of them, at least some of them, and witnessed all of them, all of the miracles at this point. And this miracle, the loaves, to them was just another miracle. They had gotten so accustomed to watching Jesus do great things. They'd gotten so accustomed to watching the Lord perform mighty works and miracles. And listen, when they got in the middle of the greatest miracle they'd ever saw, listen, they missed it. Amen. Because they were just accustomed to it. Amen. You know what I think tonight? I think we ain't real careful. We get just like me. I remember when I got saved by the grace of God. I remember hearing the songs of Zion, a lot of the songs we sing. I remember hearing them for the first time. I remember the first time I ever had a man of God get up, turn to John 3:16, and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his own. I was amazed that God loved me. I was amazed. I remember hearing there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I was so amazed. I mean, just sit back in astonishment at the grace of God and the love of God and the goodness of God. It was all new. Amen. But that's been many years ago. Amen. And I've heard a lot of preaching since then, and I've heard a lot of singing since then. And if I ain't real careful, I get to a place where I'm just accustomed to it. It's just another message. It's just another song. It's just another service. It's just another Sunday. It's just another Sunday night. I will say, friend, we ought to be just as amazed. I walk through those doors and hear the man of God preach as we did. It was the first day how we got birthed into the family of God. Listen, they were accustomed to it. Amen. I mean, we're guilty of it. A preacher get up and turn to John 3:16 and say, well, I've heard that before. Amen. I've heard that before. Amen. Want to give me something I've never seen before. Give me something I've never heard before. And if we've already heard it, preach, listen, it's just, but I'm telling you, listen, you realize that you and I should be in hell tonight with our back broke, but God in His mercy came to where you was and brought you out of a horrible pit. I never want to get over the fact that I could be in hell tonight, but God, who is rich in mercy, delivered me out of condemnation and loved me so much that He gave the very best that heaven had to offer just for me. Amen. They were accustomed to the miracles.
Yeah.
I got hurt. No, they did not delight in supernatural activity. And can I say this? They did not delight in supernatural activity. Notice this. Hey, listen, they did not discern or they did not discover the spiritual application. The Bible says here they considered not. The word consider means understood. They understood not the miracle of the loaves. In other words, Brother Trey, they didn't understand the lesson that the Lord was trying to teach them. Amen. They were in the middle of the greatest miracle. They were distributing created food, but they did not understand the miracle the Lord was trying to teach them. What was the miracle? What was the lesson? Well, there's a lesson about His affection. He had compassion on the multitude. There was a lesson about His ability. Amen. He fed the multitude. Amen. There was a lesson about His abundance. They took up 12 baskets full. But they missed every bit of that. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they took up 12 baskets full, and I've heard a lot of preaching on those baskets. I wonder where they went to. I don't have to wonder. The Bible says them disciples hadn't ate yet.
Right.
Amen. They hadn't ate yet. You think the Lord Jesus sent them on, put them on that ship without food?
Yeah.
after they'd just fed a multitude. No. There they was on that storm and had a basket of created food sitting between their legs. And when the wind began to blow, if that'd been me, you know what I'd have said? I'd have said, fellas, I don't know what's going to happen in this storm, but it's going to be all right. And I'd pick up one of those fish. I'd say, did you just see what he done? Did you just see what he done? He made this bread. He made this fish. I believe this little storm will be all right. Amen. But they didn't do that. You know why? Because they didn't understand what he's trying to teach them.
Right.
Amen. So I'm not guilty of that, are we not?
Amen.
How many times we come to church and we leave at night, in our mind, we might say it out loud, but in our mind, say, well, I didn't really get nothing out of that.
Right.
Amen. Monday morning, somebody said, what did the preacher preach on? Oh. If you hadn't asked me, amen. Amen. Must not have understood what God was trying to tell you. Must not have understood what God was trying to tell me. Has God done that miracle for those people, but not just for those people? He done it for those disciples. He brought them in and allowed them to have a part because he was trying to teach them something about him, and they missed it. Amen.
Man, that's good.
I really believe this all my heart. I believe every time God's people gather around that word, God's got something for every single one of us.
Sure.
You say, well, preacher, he preached on Nicodemus, you must be born again. I'm already saved. But did not he, and I'd say he took that meal and tailor fit it to every individual.
Right.
Holy Ghost do that, the message, isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. But they missed it. I wonder how many times we come to church and we miss what God may think, well, I don't need that right now. We miss what God has for us. They did not delight in supernatural activity. They did not discover the spiritual application. Let me say this. They could not discern the speech of the Almighty. Go to Matthew's account, Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14 is the same account. Matthew tells us that it is, in Matthew's gospel, we're told about Peter walking on the water. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 24. The Bible said the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out with fear. Now, I can understand that. It's dark. It's in the fourth watch of the night. Listen, the wind's blowing. The seas are raging. And when they see him coming, they really can't make him out too well. And they suppose him to be a spirit. But look what the next verse says. But straightway Jesus, verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. But, I mean, you would think these men have been with him for about 2 years now. They'd heard him speak every day. Every day. They're hearing Jesus speak every day. Do you know this? A side note. Do you know if you study the four Gospels, there's only about 100 days of the ministry of Christ that are accounted for in the four Gospel records. Amen. With the exception of the Passion Week, and every day is accounted for.
Right.
Why? Because that's the most important days.
Right.
That's what he came for.
Yeah.
Amen. But that's all we have. They had every day with him.
How about that?
And when Jesus walked on the water, he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.
Right.
You would think those men would say, that's him. I know that voice from anywhere. That's the one who spoke, how to preach the Sermon on the Mount. Listen, that's the one who said, let there be and there was. That's my Savior. I know his voice. Look at the next verse. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you. See what happened when Jesus spoke. They didn't recognize his voice. And Peter said, that sounds like him.
Right.
I don't know if it is or not. Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come unto thee. Yeah. Amen. They could not discern the voice of God. Are you hearing me? I tell you what, friend, you can get to the place and you can best serve a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you cannot discern the voice of God. Amen? Hey, listen, I mean, how many times you feel like God wants you to do something and there's a battle on the inside trying to decide whether it's you or whether it's the Spirit of God wanting you to do it. How many times, listen, something on the inside says you need to go to the altar. In your mind, you're thinking, is that me or is that God? How many times something tell you to raise your hand? There's something, not an audible voice. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Right.
And something, and you say, is that me or is that God?
Yeah.
You get down there, you get down to the gas pump and something in your mind say, hand that fellow a gospel track. And you're saying, is that me or is that? Something telling you to testify, is that me or is that God? You know what the problem is? You can't decide if it's your voice. Or his voice.
Right. That's good.
That's where they were. Lord, is that really you speaking?
Right.
Amen.
Man, that's good.
So we see the cause, we see the consequence, but notice this, I'm done. Notice the cure. Look in Mark 8 real quick. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. Notice the cure for all of this. Mark chapter number 8. Let me tell you what's going on. Mark chapter number 8. Jesus has had another run in with the Pharisees. And they depart from, depart from where they were and get on the ship and start journeying toward the other side. And Jesus is going to make another spiritual application about leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees. And look what he said in verse 14, Mark 8. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not? Perceive ye not yet? Neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? I want to say, number one, first thing we got to do to fix this hardness of the heart is to recognize we have a problem. See, they get on the ship sometime a few days later. They're on the ship and they're crossing over and Jesus is going to try to give them a lesson about leaven and the hypocrisy of Pharisees. Jesus begins to talk about bread and they said, he's picking on us because we didn't bring bread. And Jesus said, have you not gotten any of this yet? Do you not understand what I've been trying to tell you the whole time? Is your heart still hardened? I mean, you see me feed the multitude. You see me do this and you see me do that and you see me do this. But you still have a heart and heart. Here's the thing. They were right in the middle of the ministry of the Lord, on a ship with the Lord Jesus in the middle of his ministry. And they didn't realize how bad a shape they were in. Amen. Don't tell you something, friend. You can be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But down on the inside, You're in bad shape.
Right.
And you can get to the place where you don't even realize how bad a shape you're in.
Right.
Jesus said, are you not getting this yet? They didn't recognize it. Then you got to remember, look what your Bible said again in that same verse. He said, having eyes you see not, having ears you hear not. Verse 18. Having eyes you see not, having ears you hear not. He said, and do ye not remember when I break the five loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say in him 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say 7. Jesus said, you don't remember, fellas? Do you not remember? Can I ask you tonight? Do you remember how you used to be?
Yeah.
Remember how it was? And at least you couldn't wait to get to church.
Yeah.
You couldn't, you just could not wait for another service. You couldn't wait for another Sunday. Amen. With anticipation, counting down the moments, waiting for another service that you could go to church and hear the preacher preach and hear the souls of Zion and worship. I mean, because you were amazed at how that everything God had done for you. But now, you're just accustomed to it. Amen. Can I ask us tonight, were we amazed when we come in this place tonight? Or are we just accustomed to it?
Notice this. They had to remember. Then let me say this. We got to recognize. We got to remember. And then we have to repent. You know what he told them churches over in Revelation? Amen. Remember whence thou art fallen. And repent. Do the first works. Amen. See, it's very possible. Not only possible, I'll say this. I think it's probable for you and I to go through periods of hardness. And your heart gets hard. And it gets cold. And it gets calloused. And you don't enjoy it as much as you used to. But it ain't just you don't enjoy it. You're not amazed by it anymore. And can I say tonight, listen, friend, if it don't amaze you anymore, you probably got some hardness there. Probably got a film starting to... Are y'all hearing me? A callous. I don't have many of my dawn, I'll be honest with you. Amen. But I tell you what, you get one. You gotta peel a little dead hard skin off of it. Amen. I tell you what, I'd say some of us, it'd be good for some of us to do. To get around this altar and pull some dead skin. Amen. Off that calloused heart. And ask God to make it fresh one more time. Amen. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. I'm going to pray. I don't know your heart tonight. But I believe God will let me preach that. Listen, can I ask you tonight, is it as fresh as it used to be? Do you enjoy this thing like you used to? Are you amazed that God let you come to church tonight? I mean, all day, would you just like anticipate it? Man, I can't wait. Oh, one more. Hallelujah. I get to go to church. I get to hear the Word of God preached one more time. Was you amazed? Or you just, it's another service. Another service. We were in Scotland with Bradley. Miss Rachel and the kids came over. We all went over together and done work. We went and seen some sights while we were over there. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I went, I was just amazed. Yeah. But after I'd been a few times and seen some of those sights a few times, it really wasn't as amazing to me as it used to be. Starting to get used to it. Starting to get accustomed to it. I don't want to do that when it comes to the things of God. I don't want to do that when it comes to church, when it comes to how, when it comes to the Word of God. When it comes to my service for the Lord. I don't want to do that tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, to be in church tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. God, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd help these around the altar. Do the work that only you can do, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Preacher, come on. Preacher, I want to come tonight. There'll be some others say, Preacher, I want to come. Listen, it happens to everybody. Everybody gets hardened hearts time to time. Everybody. I just don't stand in awe of it like I used to. I'm not amazed the way I once was. A lot of times forget. I'll tell you, that message helped me tonight. It surely did. These folks around the altar praying, there's still room for you.